In recent weeks, I assume we've all noticed this, you know, kids have gone back to school. We hope teachers have gone back to school. They're all back in school. And school is in session because it's important to know. School is in session, and we have school because it's important to know. It's very important to know certain things. Growing up, making a living, in fact, living itself depends on knowing. And I want you kids in school and any of you who may be involved in the schools, I want you to know that there are people in the family of God who pray for you as you go back to school. We've been praying as you enter back into the school year and into the classes and relationships with other students and so on, that people pray for you and for your teachers too. I wonder, have you watched a survival show on television or looked at a survival guide? Now, I know there's a show called Survivor. I haven't watched that. I don't think I've seen any of that. But I'm thinking of not of the Survivor series, but of something like Man versus Wild with Bear Grylls. There are a whole series of shows like that, kind of unique, kind of interesting. And there are books, there are all kinds of books and survival guides that you can get and that you can look at, how to, different things to do if you, you know, get caught out in a blizzard or get caught wherever, and how to get through. In fact, I was looking at some of that, and one of the places said, you need to remember the word survival. And it starts with S, right? So size up the situation. Size up the situation. Use all your senses. Use all your senses. Remember where you are. R, remember where you are. V, vanquish fear and panic. And then I, improvise. Learn to improvise. V, value living. Yeah, well, I guess that goes hand in hand with survival, doesn't it? That we're going to value living. And then A, act like the natives. Now, this year, when I went to the Global Leadership Summit, and Grace, you were there, and I hope next year we can get some others there, but Jim Collins is a nationally, internationally known writer on business things and so on, an excellent teacher. And he explains some survival tactics that enabled the Amundsen team to reach their goal of the South Pole and make it back again. This is back in 1911, while the Scott team got to the pole later than the other team, and they all died on the way back, 10 or 12 miles from a supply depot. So one team succeeded, and the other team failed, and they all died. One of the things that contributed greatly to the Amundsen team's survival was that they learned from the Eskimos. The other team was all enamored with the latest innovations, and they got some machinery out there, and some kinds of machines. And then when the machines failed due to the weather, then they turned to horses. And the horses failed and died due to the weather. But the Amundsen team studied the Eskimos in preparation. And they used dogs. And dogs made a significant difference in their accomplishing their goal and their getting back alive. So act like the natives, and then the last one is live by your wits, or beforehand, learn some basic skills, okay? So live by your wits, learn some basic skills. Now, some of you might enjoy high adventure and getting into some experiences of high risk, and you might need to pick up some survival skills if you're going to make it. One of the chaplains that I work with up in Fargo, He's an adventuresome guy, and he and three or four other people went on a weekend long deal in the Pembina Gorge, up way up in North Dakota, and it was like a 24-hour deal, and it was pitch dark where they were, and they had their bikes, and they had steep cliffs going down, and he was telling me all about the experience. Well, some of us, a few of us, may get into that kind of thing, but all of us, I think all of us are interested in knowing how to survive life on a daily basis. We want to know how to make it in school or on the job or in our families with our friends. How do we survive the challenges of life that are before us? And how do we survive the ultimate challenge of why we're here? What is this all about? Why are we here? And what is our life really about? And what happens when life starts to drain and dwindle away, or when it's cut short abruptly? And for that matter, how do we survive in the light of all the uncertainties of life? How do we carry on knowing that we don't have any guarantees? We don't have guarantees that we're going to be here Tuesday or Wednesday. So how do we survive in light of all of that? Well, today and next week, we're going to look at a prayer in the Bible that suggests that the most important things that we can pray about, the most important things that we can pray about, relate to what and to who you know, and that is a matter of ultimate survival. Now, we pray about all kinds of things, don't we? We pray about all kinds of things. We pray for things to work out right. We pray for a team to win. We pray for success. We pray for health. We pray for safety. And those are things that are on our hearts and on our minds, and we ought to pray about those things. I heard someone the other day suggest that we should pray for courage rather than for safety or comfort. And I think people like Kevin and his wife have probably been doing some, obviously been doing some of that, praying for courage rather than just safety or comfort. And that was a compelling challenge to me, and I hope maybe to share some more of that with you. Maybe we'll look at a video, 8-minute video of how some people are in the world are being changed and are being rescued because some people pray for courage. But by far the most important thing that we can pray for involves knowing. And I think in some ways that covers it all, knowing, this matter of knowing. Now, we're in the second week in the series in the book of Ephesians. Two weeks ago, we looked at Ephesians 1:1-14. And if you were here, or if not, you can just listen here and go back and review it. But we considered how we can begin to experience the highest of all blessings. The Apostle Paul calls us to join him in giving praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And we looked at Ephesians 1:1-14, which, by the way, Ephesians 1:1-14, those 14 verses in the Greek language are one sentence. It's one sentence that goes on and on and on, and it makes for interesting study if you're trying to diagram a sentence or something. But anyway, it's one sentence, and as we looked at that, we thought of how we need to understand that the highest blessings flow from God. The highest blessings flow from God. We need to realize that these blessings from God are for people. They are meant for people. And we need to try to comprehend, and I think we'll try for the rest of our lives, we need to try to comprehend that God's blessings extend to all of creation. They are meant for, and they extend to all of creation. Well, now we continue in the first chapter, and we see that Paul writes to us about, and he prays, and he writes about prayer. And he's basically showing us that the most important things for us to pray about are matters of knowing. We need to pray about this, that we might know. So here we go. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, so that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This kind of knowledge, this knowing, comes from God. It's made possible by God. And so it makes sense for us to ask God to help us to know him better, to know hope, and to know power. Well, we're going to look at the first one of those things today, and then we'll come back and look at hope and power next Sunday. But let's begin this way. We need God's help so that we might know God better. Verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. People everywhere want to know God. And I was going to illustrate that. I could have put pictures up here of crowds of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people gathered in parts of the world, coming together for some kind of religious endeavor because they're hungry for God. They want to know God in all kinds of different practices and experiences, expressions we see around the world that people want to know God. They try in many ways to know about him. But this matter of knowing is something that comes only from him. The word that we just read says that it's a matter of revelation. He shows himself to us. God reveals who he is and what he is like. And this is more than information or something you memorize or data of some kind. It's a knowing. It's a personal acquaintance. It's an experience. It's a relationship. Knowing God is a big deal. It's major. It's vital. Listen to what John 17:3 says. Now this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's saying, isn't it? That knowing God is eternal life. That's what eternal life is about. It's to know God. Eternal life is more than having a sure ticket to heaven someday. It's knowing God, our Father in heaven, now and forever. Knowing him and getting to know him better and better. A year ago, Don and I did not know any of you. We didn't know you. In fact, sorry to say, but I was called and asked if I wanted to think about an interim pastorate in Madison, Minnesota. You know what I said? No, I said, where's that? You know, I mean, Madison, Wisconsin? Yeah, Madison, Minnesota. Where is that? You know, I remember getting out the map or getting on the computer and trying to locate Madison and see what kind of a drive that would be and so on. Beginning last Thanksgiving time, the week before Thanksgiving, we have come to know you, some of you better than others. And I just genuinely say it's a delight to know you. Our lives have been enriched much because we have been getting to know you. We got out to the football game the other night, and we were able to watch some of the kids that we know. And it was a W. I told someone, I said, for the first 5 minutes of that game, I was feeling bad for the other team. But then as the game went on, I wasn't feeling bad for them anymore. It was a really good game, and it ended up with a W for our guys. A few years ago, quite a few years ago, I got really pumped up about playing football on Friday nights. My senior year, I was co-captain of the team along with our Alan, who was our quarterback. And, you know, another thing that made fall's my favorite time of the year. I love the fall. And I think it has something to do with football days back in high school and smell of burning leaves, colorful leaves, cool, fresh air, you know. I love the fall. Another thing that made fall and school and life so great was that a really cool girl moved in next door to our house in town. She moved in next door. She had beautiful auburn hair. You know what auburn is? I say it's the color of a chestnut, you know, deep brown and red and gorgeous hair. I remember excitedly, nervously, at the end of the school day, wanting to get down to her locker, wondering, what am I going to say? But I want to say something, and I want to make some kind of connection there. And we started to walk home after school. Remember, we lived next door to each other. And then after those ball games, and in the winter, after we'd been at basketball games, and we've been walking together now for almost 43 years. In fact, we've been hanging out together for almost 50 years and have known each other for 60 years. Oh, my goodness. And it's an amazing thing that now those two high school kids have become a family of 15. You know, it's amazing. And Donna and I are still enjoying knowing each other and growing together. Knowing your spouse, knowing your kids, knowing their spouses, your grandkids, it's a wonderful knowing, great intimacy, great joy. But to know God is of yet another magnitude. But these precious family connections help us to begin to understand what this knowing that the Bible speaks of is all about. To know God is something of a different kind of magnitude. What joy, what pleasure, what confidence, what significance comes to us individually as people in really knowing, getting to know God. There is nothing more important in life than knowing God. All of life, the way we live each day, the way we receive blessings, the way we face challenges, the way we confront crises, all of that is radically different if we know God. Do you remember The most repeated, the most often repeated command in the scripture? I know I've shared that with you. Do you remember what it is? The most often repeated command in the Bible. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And that's really possible when we know God. It's possible to live that way when we know God. And as we were singing earlier this morning, we were singing about that, about how fear melts away. Do you remember? It was the words we sang together earlier, and we embrace that. Paul knows that it's important that we pray and that we keep on praying and that we keep on asking God that we might know Him better. We are to pray for each other that we might know God better. You know, we pray for each other in all kinds of different ways. I don't know how often we pray this. And we ought to pray this way. That we might know God better. When we think of the challenges and the opportunities that we face and that we certainly are going to face in life, what better could we ask for one another than that we know God better? I pray that a lot for us, for our family, and for you who are a part of this family. So, we're going to stop there today. But that's something we could do, you know, this week. Let's pray for one another in our families and for one another in this church family and even for those who might not even, maybe especially for those who might not yet even be in the family. Let's pray that they might get to know God better. Because you know what? That's where eternal life is. And knowing God.